ജൈവം ശ്രീപാദാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷി പ്രഭുപാദ ജൈവം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷി പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ ബൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ്ഠാക്കൂർത്തി സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുന്ദരാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദീർഘമായിക്ക് ഗൗരമായിക്ക് തുളസി ദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തി ദേവിക്ക് സാമുവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ 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 ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശാഖയ വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീവൃതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സഹജജാതം സഹഗണരവതാധന്വിതം തം സജീവം ൈതം സാവധൂരം കൈലാമസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ശ്രീശാപ്രന്ദിതംശ്ചോപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസാദ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീ നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈനായ പ്രവാഹയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനന്ദായിനേ നമഃ ജല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗോകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തു നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തൈരിണി രൂപാരൂഢവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാദ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിപ്രലംബര സാമോദരി പദാംബുജായ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തി വിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ ഗുരുമുഖായ ഗൗരാഭൂമിയ വൈഷ്ണവ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നമഃ വചനപദ്യ കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യനാമേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപ സ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താധ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രീയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരണാസിന്ധോ നീലമനോജകൽപദേ രാധാമോസ്തു ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ ശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രസാദി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരണ്യ വംശീ കർഷാണുസ്തു ൃന്ദാവേശ്വരി ഹരി പ്രീ
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, in the 19th verse of the 14th chapter, Krishna is saying that Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtane pashyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. That's what we are talking about, isn't it? Krishna says when you see that there is nothing beyond the modes of nature, in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all the modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. That's what we talked about last Sunday. So, we mentioned there that the this prakriti, three modes of material nature, that will continue its own way. There is not a lot we can do about this prakriti. Prakriti is not in our control, isn't it? So, prakriti behaves according to its dharma. But when we know that I am not a part of prakriti, I am a witness to the prakriti. And if you go a little bit further than that, you are not even a witness. Instead, this you will know that this prakriti itself is only an imagination in us which exists. This is the beauty of Maya. Maya, first you have to define Maya, explain about Maya, and finally you have to prove that Maya doesn't exist. Because these are different stages in the process of self-realization. So when you cross that stage, that the this witness stage is in the middle. When you say witness, at that time you exist, prakriti exists, two things separately. Isn't it? So as long as I have this witness nature as a sakshi, and there is, that means there is drik and then there is drishyam, vastu, what you are seeing. If these two things are existing, that means dvaitam exists. Dvaitam exists. That is why we say Sankhyam is not perfect. Sankhya Siddhantam is not perfect. Because there the person who is seeing drashtava and or drikka or drishyam exist. So you go a little bit further than that, then you beyond than that. That means what Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam, that the parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi vishwam ekalpagam pashyan, that stage comes. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushanaja. Prakriti purusha is sankhyam. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan is advaitam. It is a higher stage than the prakriti's purusha stage. So that is why you will see this mentioned in many places also. In the another prayers it says, na sankhyam, na shaivam, na pancharatram, none of them. Because they are all partial truths. Na sankhyam, na shaivam, na tat pancharatram, na jainam, na mimamsakam, der matam na, vishishtanu buddhya, vishuddhalpa tattva, tadega vashishtam, ശിവകേവലോഹം. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, സാഖ്യം, ശൈവം, പഞ്ചരാത്രം, ജൈനം, മീമാംസകം, ദേ ആർ ഓൾ പാർഷ്യലി ഓൺലി അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് ദി ട്രൂത്ത്. വിശിഷ്ടാനുഭൂത്യ വിശുദ്ധാത്മതത്വ, വെൻ യു കം ടു പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ഓഫ് ദ സെൽഫ്, നത്തിങ് റിമെയിൻസ്, ഓൺലി ദ സെൽഫ് റിമെയിൻസ്. തത് ഏകോപശിഷ്ടം ശിവകേവലോഹം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ്, ദാറ്റ്സ് പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തിങ് ഹിയർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. വെൻ യു മൂവ് അവേ ഫ്രം പ്രകൃതി, ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ നാന്യം ഗുണേഭ്യ കർത്താരം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഗുണ യഥാ ദ്രഷ്ടാനു പശ്യതി, ദ്രഷ്ടാവ് ആൻഡ് പശ്യതി എക്സിസ്റ്റ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ സാഖ്യം ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്. പശ്യതി ഗുണേഭ്യശ്ച പരം വേത്തി മൽഭാവം സോതി ഗച്ഛതി. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇഫ് യു ഗോ ബിയോണ്ട് ഗുണം, ദിസ് ദൃക്കദൃശ്യം ഓൾസോ ഗോസ് അവേ, മൽഭാവം സോതി ഗച്ഛതി. കൃഷ്ണാസ് ഭാവം, ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് പ്യുവർ ആത്മ, പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ഓൺലി റിമെയിൻസ്. പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ഓൺലി റിമെയിൻസ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് മൽഭാവം. മൽഭാവം സോതി ഗച്ഛതി മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഓൺലി കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് റിമെയിൻസ്, പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് റിമെയിൻസ്. കൃഷ്ണൻ സൈ നാന്യം ഗുണേഭ്യ കർത്താരം യഥാ ദ്രഷ്ടാനു പശ്യതി ഗുണേഭ്യശ്ച പരം വേത്തി മൽഭാവം സോതി ഗച്ഛതി. ഏളിയ ഹി സൈസ് നാന്യം ഗുണ, എവ്രിതിങ് ഈസ് ഡൺ ബൈ ദി ഗുണം. ത്രീ മോർ സമിതിയച്ച് നാന്യം ഗുണേഭ്യ കർത്താരം. ആൻഡ് ദറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഓൾ മോഡ്സ്, ദീസ് മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഇൻ ഓൾ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ്. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ വാട്ട് ഈസ് നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ, യഥാ ദ്രഷ്ടാനു പശ്യതി. And then the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes. Gunaibhyascha param veti. Beyond these three modes of material nature, param is Krishna. And malbhavam sodhi gacchari. That is form of pure consciousness. That's what he is that is saying there. So, so dvairam is not real. Because there is no two things existing. There's only one vastu. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. So what is that vastu? That vastu is this, that what is present in all of us in the form of awareness, that we all exist, awareness that is present in all of us, and all of us in the form of awareness, bodham, bodharupam, that bodharupam, in that awareness is where this false ego has developed. False ego has come from that. And then the mind, and then the mind goes through the senses to the world, and it ends up in the drishyam, in the world, isn't it? That is how this process happens. That initially only pure consciousness. From consciousness, ahankaram, false ego comes. False ego, mind comes. And from the mind, mind comes through the senses and it goes out and it starts its vyavaharam in the world, and that when it starts the vyavaharam in the world, then it ends up in the drishyam. That is the drishyam, isn't it? The world is drishyam. So the drik is the consciousness. From there it ends up in drishyam. It ends up in drishyam. It ends up in drishyam. So that is not the truth. Drishyam is not the truth. Because you can see in the 11th canto, Bhagavadam, the Sanat Kumara Maharshi and the four Kumaras, they ask this question to Lord Brahma. Remember? Then we have to connect with that to that. Knowledge in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam, if you look into the 13th chapter, in the 11th canto, this is exactly the question what was raised by the four Kumaras when they asked him, Brahma, this Guneshu Amshade Cheto Gunaschedasi Samcha Praho Kadham Anyuanya Samthyago Mumushoho Adititirushoho. You see, that he says there that in the, when question, this was the 17th verse in the 13th chapter, ഗുണേഷു ആവശ്യതേ ചേതോ ഗുണശ്ചേതസി ച പ്രഭോ കഥം അന്യോന്യ സംത്യാഗോ മുമുക്ഷോ അതിതിതീർഷോഹോ. ദാറ്റ് ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ വാസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഗുണം, ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദി മൈൻഡ്, ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, എവ്രിവെയർ, ആൻഡ് ദേ ഹാവ് എ കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദി വേൾഡ്. mind, intelligence, everything has a connection. So the senses, the mind goes to the world and develop a relationship with the world. How this can be broken? How can we break this? Because normally the mind has this nature to go through the senses to the sense objects. Now if you close the windows, exit windows, which are the senses, then the sense objects will come to us. If you leave the windows open, the mind will go through the windows to the senses. If you shut the sense windows, sense objects will come to the mind. It's a very unusual relationship. It's a very unusual relationship. That is what, and how do we come out of this? This was the question which Sanaga and four Kumaras asked this question to Brahma. It's a very important question, isn't it? And for that, the answer was this 13th chapter. What do you see? Krishna had to appear as a Hamsam or a swan, and then he had to answer, and this is the answer what he is giving, that answer, and that is this Nanyam Gunebhyah Karanam Bhavet is all about. See the link between Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So you can see here that Sanaga Maharshi and others, the four Kumaras, are saying that mind is going through the senses outside to the world, and it goes to the sense objects, and it goes and agitates everything. Is it not? It agitates everything. And sense objects, on the other hand, comes back through the senses to the mind. When the mind gets absorbed in the sense objects, what is the impact of that? Impact is this, that it comes back into the mind. The sense objects comes to the mind. And then what it does do? It stays in the form of vasana inside. So, here the question is that how is this possible to come out of this situation? That was the question which the Kumaras have raised to the Lord to Lord Brahma. So here, Krishna is saying here, at that time he mentioned that your question is not correct. That is what Krishna said. Remember that chapter, 13th chapter, he said, your question itself is wrong, he said. What was the reason he mentioned there? That the vacharambho anarthaha, he says here. That if you look at the 23rd verse, you will see, panjalpmageshu bhudeshu samaneshu cha vastuta ko bhavandiva prasno vacharambho anarthaka. Ko bhavandiva prasno vacharambho anarthaka. He says, if there is many things here, there is no question of coming and going, isn't it? So, Krishna's point is, there is not many things, there is only one thing, pure consciousness. If there are many things, then there is a question of coming and going. After all, sense objects, senses, mind, everything has come from awareness, from pure awareness. Awareness is the most important thing. And Krishna gives only value to it, doesn't give any importance to other things, that's come from that. So, whatever you experience through the mind or through the senses, whatever you see or whatever you perceive, knows, all of them that, manona anyad idi buddhyasva samanjasa. Manona anyad idi buddhyasva samanjasa. In other words, apart from the mind, you are creating all these things, experience of various things, isn't it? In reality, in Sushupti state, if you look, the person is not there. Only experience is there, isn't it? In Sushupti, there is only experience. Similarly, in dream state also, if you look, there is a dream going and the person is witnessing the dream.
But in reality, there is no two. But the two things exist there. So, in what you can say is this, the person who is experiencing the dream, he himself is expanding as the dream. That's again, pure consciousness is expanding as the dream, what you are experiencing there. Just to say about creation, Krishna spoke about this before. That how to understand creation, creation has to be understood this way only. That like in the way, in the dream state, how from pure consciousness, everything that we create in the dream, it's all our expansion of the self, our consciousness, awareness, that expands in various forms, as objects, as persons, as various things, isn't it? Everything in the dream, it can expand that into different colors and different forms and shapes and names, everything. So similarly, from there, from that dream state and the deep sleep, you have to know no second thing exists. There's only one thing exists. In deep sleep, it is abundantly clear, isn't it? It's extremely clear that there's only consciousness exists, nothing else. But when you come to dream state, you see a little bit variation there, that I exist and all other objects exist. But reality only I exist, but I expanded into all other forms. So, Krishna is saying here, if you have realized this, only then you will go beyond the three modes of nature. Only when you realize this, you will go beyond the three modes of nature and you are situated in the truth. Is it hearing me? Truth. That is why Krishna uses that word paramveti. That he says here, that unebhyascha paramveti. That is that paramveti state. See that in the third line? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtanu pashyari gunebhyascha paramveti. What does this paramveti mean? You see, paramveti means, here it says paramveti, transcendental. It says, yeah. It goes beyond, Krishna says, then you can know my spiritual nature. Malbhavam sodhi gachari. So this paramveti, you have to understand what it actually means. It means this, that in the dream state, you know that from your awareness you have expanded into four names, different names and forms, namarupam, you have expanded in various forms. In the deep sleep, but actually in reality only you are there. The three other expansions are all, that's the nature of the dream state, isn't it? In a dream, anything you can create, but without nothing being there. No country, no aeroplanes, no ships, nothing. But everything can be there in the dream. So who creating that? Atma creates from inside. Consciousness creates that. The power of the consciousness that is able to create so many different experiences in the dream without nothing being present there. In real terms. So that power of expansion is that the awareness inside can create everything, and that is the dream state. But in reality there is only awareness exists, what's present there. When you go into further, another step into deep sleep, even that goes away. That awareness itself goes away. What remains is the pure bliss or pure consciousness that remains. By then, the personality has also gone then, isn't it? Individuality has also gone. Only experience remains as the which is the highest state, that state of the, in the deep sleep state. So Krishna is saying here that only then you have come out of that duality. You come out of the duality then, isn't it? Sakshi stage is also gone. Sakshi stage is there in the dream state. But when you come to deep sleep, Sakshi stage is also gone. Then you have come to the pure state of consciousness. The state of consciousness. So, when this question was asked, that is how he answered. Krishna answered like that. Krishna answered this way, that you are asking me, Hamsam, this Swami is saying to the Kumaras, you are asking me, he says, Ko Bhavani di Prashnam. Who are you? He is asking. Krishna's answer was that Vaja Arambo Anarthaka. The question itself is flaw, fundamentally wrong. Fundamentally wrong. Because Panjalpageshu Bhudeshu Samaneshu Ja Vastuda. ko bhavan jiva prashno vacharambo anarthaka. Why it is flow? Because as far as body is concerned, your body, my body, everyone's body is made of the same five material elements. Only it has been mixed in different ways, or names and forms has been given to it. Forms and whatever that is. Name and form, in other words. Namarupam is given to different forms. But vastu is the same, which is made of this body. And as far as the living force inside is concerned, it is one. The same living force present in everyone. So, ko bhavan deva prasno vacharambo anarthaka. So, who are you talking about? Are you talking about the body? Or are you talking about the soul? Which one are you talking about? This is the way Krishna answered that question, isn't it? So, manasa vajasa drishtya grihyade nyai anyai avindriyaihi aham eva namato anyididi buddhyasva manjasa. This anyada, separately everything is there. This is the fault, Krishna says to him. Guneshu avishade chedu gunas chedasija prabho praja. Jivasya deham ubhayam gunas chedo madal mana. Krishna gives a long answer to that. If you remember that verses what we discussed. And that is where Krishna brought those same verses from the Kapila Maharshi's Sangyam also. He took something. But then Kapila Maharshi spoke in the third canto. Same verses have come there. Deham janashuram avasthidam uttidam va siddhona pashti yada jagamat swarupam daivad abhedam uda deivavashanu bhedam vaso yatha parikritam madhira mathanda. Lot of other things Krishna has spoken. So, primarily, that same thing what Krishna has spoken in the third canto as Kapila Maharshi, in the Kapilam, that same thing Krishna is bringing it back again here. But he is saying here that param veti. So when the drashta means the person who is seeing, when he goes beyond the three modes, and finally when the duality also, dvandvam, dvaidam also goes away, and he realizes that only one vastu exists, that's pure consciousness, then whether he keeps his eyes open, even then he is in the yoga state. Great personalities who have realized the truth, they are always in the yoga state. Yoga state means, even when they keep their eyes open and seeing this world, they don't look at the world like the way we see the world. We see everyone through namarupam, isn't it? Name and form is important for us. We see everyone with the name and form. A realized person, he is not seeing our name and form. He is seeing that one vastu who is present in everyone. So, practically Krishna is saying that is the yoga state. That means he has gone beyond the three modes of material nature, and he has gone beyond also the dvaidam state, that he has come to realize that there is only one vastu who is present in everyone. So, even when thoughts comes into the mind, and even if he hears various forms of sound, still his yoga state is not disturbed. So that is what they call it as sahaja nirvikalpa samadhi. They call it sahajam. Sahajam means it's a natural state of nirvikalpam, without any vikalpam, a samadhi state. That's why it's called like that. Sahajam nirvikalpa samadhi. That means no vikalpam. Vikalpam means no thought waves coming in a natural way, in a samadhi state to exist. That is that. So, for such a person who has come to that state, then he doesn't need to have any closed eye and meditation and everything. That is gone beyond that. Even if his eyes are open, he is still in the yoga state. He is still in the yoga state. And that is what Krishna talks about in the earlier verse that he mentions there, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabha. Is it not? I think it is in the fourth chapter. The fourth or fifth? Seventh chapter. Yes. Yeah. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Everything is Vasudeva. That realization. That is exactly what Krishna is saying here. So, 7:19. Bahunam Janmanam Anne Yanavanmam Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamidhi Samahatma Sudurlava. So this Vasudeva Sarvamidhi is not a simple thing. One who has gone it's easy to tell everyone Vasudeva Sarvamidhi, isn't it? But Vasudeva to get that realization means this. What will happen at that time is that he has gone beyond the three modes of material nature, he has transcended that, plus he has also transcended the Dvaitam. He has gone beyond the Dvaitam, the pure Advaita stage that is. There is only one, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlava. There is only Vasudeva. Vasudeva means that Vastu who is living in everyone, that is Vasudeva. So Vasudeva Sarvamiti state is that, Samahatma Sudurlava. That's why Krishna is saying it's a very, very rare thing. So, you can see how Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita meets up in various times in here. That Madhbhavam and Krishna puts it here in this verse that Vasudeva Sarvamidhi, he says, Madhbhavam Sodhi Gacchadi. That's what it is. Vasudeva Sarvamidhi is Madhbhavam Sodhi Gacchadi. Madhbhavam Sodhi Gacchadi. So, and that means he has practically come to that Krishna's state of consciousness, the state of consciousness. So, drishtim jnanamayam kritva pasyed brahmamayam jagat, Upanishads. When drishti, when the vision is become jnanamayam, of knowledge, then what you see, pasyed brahmamayam jagat, whatever you see is Brahma. So properly to see Krishna, you have to become like that. That same state, what Krishna is in, that state you have to reach to see Krishna properly. Otherwise, you won't be able to see Krishna properly. You will see a form, Krishna's form, but seeing Krishna properly in the way Bhagavad Gita is talking about, that means you have to reach that state of Krishna's. That's like Vasudeva Sarvamidhi. Okay, by your bhakti you may see Krishna's form. But you are not seeing still Krishna in the way Krishna is talking about himself. As Vasudeva Sarvamidhi Samahalva Sudurlava. That seeing comes afterwards. When you come out of all the three modes. There are many, many devotees who have seen Krishna. Isn't it? There are many devotees who have seen Krishna. Because of their bhakti and surrender, Krishna has given them the darshanam. So they had the opportunity to see Krishna. But that seeing Krishna is different than the way Krishna is talking about it. Krishna is saying, see me like this, which way? Bhunan Janmanamande Yanavanmam Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samaha. Vasudeva Sarvamiti vision. In order to get that, you have to become like Krishna, who has transcended the three modes of material nature and also gone beyond the Dvaitam. Only then you will see Krishna in that way. Vasudeva Sarvamidhi Samahalma. That's why Krishna is saying Samahalma Sudurlaba. Very, very rare, he says. That person who has come to that. So, practically what's happening is that at that stage, that our Ahankaram false ego is completely gone from inside. Only the same pure consciousness that is existing within us. And Sarvado Badram. And at that stage, all Upadravam has gone. All disturbances has gone from inside. All disturbances gone inside. Exactly what Krishna says in the Narayana Kavacham. Remember that verse? Important verse in the Narayana Kavacham. Where he mentions there, Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasatchayat Satyanayana na sarve Yantu Nasho Badravaha. The famous verse it is. That Yadahi Bhagavan, actually only Krishna exists. Only soul exists. Only Atma exists. Only Brahma may exist. Only consciousness exists, only bodham exists. That's what Krishna is saying. Yadahi Bhagavan eva vastuda sat asat chayat. Satya, asatya and everything is comes later. Actually only what exists is sat. And from the sat came the asat. Isn't it? So initially when you study Bhagavad Gita, you have to know that. Separation between sat and asat. But finally Krishna takes us back to only one truth exists. And that is what he says here. Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasatchayat Sat Asat Chayat Satya Nanina Nasa. After knowing that truth, Yadunasha Vadravaha. Because if I realize that truth, what is the benefit? Then nothing can disturb me in this world. You see, in Narayana Kavacham, you remember? Krishna spoke about that. Shukabrahmashi says there, let Hayagriva protect me here, Nrisimha protect me there, Vamanamurti protect me here, Ramchandra protect me there, all different incarnations protect me everywhere. He says like that, isn't it? And finally, how does that finish? With this verse. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva. Ultimately, with this realization, it says, which realization? Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasatyat. If I realize this, Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sad Asachayat. Everything is Krishna. If I realize that, Satya Nanena Nasarve, knowing that truth, Yadunasha Vadravaha, then I won't have any problem with anything in this world. Isn't it? Why should I fearful about anyone? Because only Krishna exists. So there, that is a very higher stage. That means you have gone beyond the three modes of material nature and you have also gone beyond Dvaitam, duality also. That is what he is saying here. Because Bhagavan Eva, except Satya, Asatya, everything is that Vastu, Krishna, pure consciousness. In other words, here nothing exists except Krishna. Only Krishna exists. So that state is possible only for one who has gone beyond the three modes. Gunadhitan it is called. Gunadhitan means one who has transcended the three modes. As long as you have the three modes of material nature, you cannot get that vision. Which one? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That's not possible. Because if as long as there is Sattugunam in me, I will get attached to that Sattugunam. Isn't it? Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayadi. Krishna mentions before. And if I have Rajogunam in me, I will get attached to that. Rajogunam means karma, will come from that. And if Tamogunam in me, I will get through ignorance, ajnanam, alasyam, nidra, pramadam, all those things will happen. So, therefore, Krishna says, when all these three modes of nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, when I transcend all three of them, in other words, these three modes of nature, how they control me and how they tie me down with the world. It is through the three modes of nature my connection with the world is, isn't it? And when I get released from that, when I get transcend these three modes, the modes of nature itself, themselves, I will transcend that and modes, what they will do is, they will break that connection between me and the world. At the moment, the modes of nature is tying me down like this, with me and the world. When I go beyond the modes of nature break up that connection between me and the world. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look. You can see when you study this verse, you should also understand what liberation means. Liberation, we have some funny concept about liberation, isn't it? Liberation means freedom from everything. We don't want to be tied down to anything. Whereas people like to think that they are tied with something. Always feeling some kind of happiness being associated with some institution or some club or something. This is bondage it is. It's not liberation. People think it's liberation, isn't it? Just shows that how ignorant people are about spiritual life. People are thinking if I'm identifying with one institution or identifying with any organization, they feel that they are experiencing spiritual life. No, you are in bondage. Not only in institution, you are in bondage with the family, bondage with the society, bondage with the country, all these things, isn't it? But a liberated soul is not bound by anything. He has to be free from everything. As I mentioned last time, that people talk about starting institution after going to spiritual world also. They want to start something there. So what understanding is that? So Krishna is saying here, when you come out of the three modes of material nature, all bondage gets, you get released from all your bindings, where you are bound, whenever it is bound, because these three modes of nature is binding you to something or the other all the time. So that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, in the 20th verse. If you look, you'll see there that Krishna says that gunan etan adityan trin
gunan etan adityan trin
dehi deha samulbhavam
dehi deha samulbhavam
janmam mrityu jara dukhe
janmam mrityu jara dukhe
vimukto mamrutam asnute
vimukto mamrutam asnute
gunan etan adityan trin
gunan etan adityan trin
dehi deha samulbhavam जन्म मृत्यु जरा दुखे विमुक्तो ममृतम अश्नुते गुणान एतान अतीत्य त्रीन देही देह समुद्भवान जन्म मृत्यु जरा दुखे विमुक्तम अमृतम अश्नुते when the embodied being is able to transcend the three modes, he can become free from birth, death, old age and their distresses and can enjoy nectar even in this life. That is freedom. That is freedom. So generally, highly realized souls, they won't tie you down. They will release you from the bondage. If they tie you down, that means there is something wrong. Seriously wrong. Tying down is materialistic nature. Freeing oneself from all bondage is spiritual. So it is in this verse, Krishna is talking about the highest goal. In this verse you can see, Janma Mrityu Jara Dukha Namuktam Amrutam Ashtade. This, we have to free not only from identification with other organized institutions, but even from birth, death and old age. And Janma Mrityu Jara Dukha. Janma Mrityu Jara Dukha. Birth, death and old age. From that death, all these three things also vimuktam. You have to get freed from that. Then Krishna says, Amrita Mashnude, you can have the that nectar of existence, proper nectar existence, which is so all other transcendentalists look for that. They don't want to be always bound by anybody. Why should they be? Because the soul by very nature is free. It wants to be free. It doesn't want to be bound with anyone. Anything in any form. So, nowhere else you will see Krishna speaking so straightforward about this. Even those personalities who have started organizations in due to certain reasons they have started, they didn't want to make it bureaucratic and complicated in spiritual life with organizations. There also, the stress was not on the organization. Rather, they wanted some structure to be there, but beyond than that. But modern tendency is always to make it more and more complex with organizing and management and everything. Isn't it? It's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. So here, so analysis of studying the Shastram is for this purpose. In order that the basic problems are resolved. Basic problems are resolved. Here, what is the basic problem? Basic problems are, I have got to take birth. I have to die. Isn't it? Now, even if you don't believe in the rebirth, one thing I have to recognize that I have got old age and I also got disease. That I can't, even if I don't believe in the rebirth, those two things you have to accept. That old age is there and the disease is there. Isn't it? And finally, death is also there. That also, there's proof. You may not believe in the rebirth, but these three things, you have to accept it. So, so long as these three things, which one? Jara, Mrityu and Vyadhi. When these three things are there, no matter how, whatever you achieve or acquire in this world, you are still an object of you are not we are considered to be very intelligent. As long as these three things are there, death, old age and disease, isn't it? So, why, how do you say that, you are subject to being ridiculed by the world. Ridiculed by the world means what? You are working hard and you acquired wealth and you have done a lot in this world, but at the end, these three things, you are also having it. You are not exempted from that. Therefore, the world is ridiculing us. In other words, who is ridiculing? Death is, and finally will laugh at us. Death will laugh at us. That you have been working all these things throughout your life, but look, this is your final destiny, isn't it? So, this happens to the great emperors even the greatest personalities. And death is not frightened of anyone. Death is not frightened of anyone. The death will come and will take away everyone from here. Everybody, isn't it? So, similarly, old age and diseases, they also make fun of us, isn't it? Surrender to me. Make us surrender to them also, isn't it? So, this is exactly what Lord Buddha has seen. That's what made Buddha to move away from this. Buddha says here, what's the point in having anything? He said, Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Famous statement from Buddha. Yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet. Yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet. Yadi kasir yadir na bhavet. This was his point, Buddha's point. So, if there is yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet, suppose there was no old age, disease and death here, and suppose everything was yadi sarvam, suppose here everything was permanently here, then that makes some sense, Buddha says. I can acquire a lot of wealth and attack, because he was a kshatriya, isn't it? Go and invade other countries and add all those countries to my kingdom and do that. But by the time I do all that thing, I'll become old, Buddha say. I'll become very old. And then there is no time to enjoy anything, but then the death comes and takes you away. It happens to many people. They work hard, earn a lot of wealth, and it goes on like that, and one day finally old age, disease, death comes and they're gone from here. So then you start thinking, what is he working for all this life? What did he achieve from this? What is he acquired from that? So just like some savories, it requires teeth to bite, isn't it? But old age came, the teeth is gone, but you still want to eat them. What to do? So that is like that. So in a similar way, Krishna's point is also, he's saying that all these years I couldn't eat those savories, but I like it very much. Only thing is, after retirement I got some time to sit and eat properly, but by then the teeth is all gone. Teeth is all gone from the mouth. So, and you thought that, oh, I'll remove everything, I'll take away all the teeth and put a fresh set of teeth. But then the problem is that some of the teeth hasn't gone. So you got to pull out the good teeth also. You want to put. Doctor is saying, oh no, don't take the good teeth. So it becomes very difficult. So, it's a very difficult situation, and it is the case with most of the wealthy people. This is what they go through in this world. They cannot enjoy anything, whatever they have acquired in this world. It's only the wealth that is there in the bank and the assets, everything, whatever they have got. But they cannot experience anything, and a lot of desires also inside, but what can they do? Plenty of desires inside. And Krishna is saying here, it is not possible to enjoy them because it is a basic problem. What is that? Janma mrityu jara dukhahi. Krishna is saying here. Janma mrityu jara dukham. These three things. So, three things Krishna has spoken here. He didn't talk about vyadhi. Did you notice that? In the verse earlier, Krishna mentioned four things. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshana darshanam. In the 13th chapter, I think. Yeah. So, there he said four things. Here Krishna said only three things. Why is that? Because Vyadhi did not mention, Vyadhi is included in this. In Janma, Mrityu, Jara, in there Vyadhi is actually included in that. Because here, how to escape from this, it's a very basic question, isn't it? This is our main problem. How to escape from birth, death, old age and disease, isn't it? So you can see, even though our so-called science has come very far, developed and everything, they have not answered this question. And they are talking about, we have acquired so many things, we have become successful in many ways. And all the things what they are talking about, what you can achieve in this life, or what you can enjoy in this life, is more or less limited to only to a certain part of your life. Say between 15 and 40 or 15 and 45, something like that, you can experience them. After that, your strength is finished. The body is many things you just have to write off from your list. You cannot keep those desires anymore, is it not? When you get very old, what you do? You drop the idea. That's the easiest thing to do. Still, desire is there to travel everywhere, to see ski, to go skiing or to go surfing, all sorts. But you can't do it. Body is not there to do it. So what you do? Drop the idea. Is it not? So what it is whatever we have so-called progress, what we have got so far, is only useful for about a certain period in life. For about 15, 20 years or so, you can utilize it. After that, it is finished, isn't it? After that, you can't do anything. You have to sit in one place and wait for the end to happen. So, or sit and talk about the things, what great things what you have done in your life. So, whatever you may do, finally, the certain thing is the death. And then everything is over. So, after the death, others will say, oh, sad thing he has left. They will also forget you. It's over. Everything is over. So, this is what we call as life. Isn't it? This what 15, 20, 30 years, what we have run around and did so many things. And finally, old age, disease, death, everything came and everything disappeared. Body also goes away. And some people may talk about you for 1 or 2 days and then that's also forgotten. Everything is over. So, this is what we call as life in this world, you can see, isn't it? And if this is all what we have to do in this life, then all these temples and spiritual life and everything makes no sense. If this is all life is about, isn't it? If it's only these 20, 30 years of activities in life, whatever you get. And the rest of the time, you are just remaining idle, isn't it? After retirement or even before retirement, they send you early retirement today. And you sit at home and then the rest of the life you are just waiting to finish up everything. So, when you're looking at that way, you can see that this life has no particularly any meaning. 15, 20 years of activity and then you sit down in one place and wait for death to come and go from here. People say, oh, they are active whole life and all that, then they go to do their GCSE and all that, people after the retirement, their A-levels or go for degrees and all that. That is madness, isn't it, when you think about it. So, and even if you look at it from your material life also, it's a bore, completely in that sense, isn't it, and makes no sense also. And if you start thinking about it, all what you see in life is what you are seeing today. That's all it is. How will you escape from this? This is the question. How will you escape from this, isn't it? Is there something that is permanent? Because this is all due to the very temporary nature of the body, temporary nature of the world as well. That's why it is like this, isn't it? So that is why Krishna is saying here, if you look into that verse, that gunan etan atitya trin deha deha samul bhavan janma mrutya jara dukhe vimukto amrta masnute. So, gunan etan atitya trin dehi deha samul bhavan. So, from deham, from the body, these three things, which one? Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Three things. Deham means three kinds of body. Gross body, the subtle body and the causal body. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Those three bodies is not me. I am not those three bodies, isn't it? The activities of the gross body, stulam, the karmam, is not mine. The activities of the gross body is not mine. The thoughts of the subtle body, because sushma deham, that's what it does. The subtle body does the thoughts, gross body does the action. So the action of the gross body is not mine. The thoughts of the subtle body is not mine. And similarly, the causal body, which has got sleep, which has got the dhyanam, samadhi, yogam, none of them, or even the unconscious state, that state, in the deep sleep state, which is all related to causal body, that is also not mine. That's also not mine. Because by nature, by definition, me is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. I am eternal, I am pure and fully conscious, always liberated. Always, that is my pure Swarupam. Only when you get that subtlety of these things, you will understand these words properly. What Krishna is saying to us is that just like if in the sky, in this space, I mean this is sky, in the space, we have all appeared, isn't it? In the space we have appeared, Namarupam, different names and forms. We have appeared and we will disappear. Once we have disappeared, what happens? This form completely disappears, material elements goes and joins the material elements. Our existence doesn't mean anything then. So, like in the space this has appeared, similar, but whether we appear and disappear or not, it does not have any effect on the space. Similarly, in that pure consciousness, even though these bodies have appeared, and or whether the body has disappeared, nothing has any effect on the consciousness. That's how we have to understand our appearance and disappearance. That the body, mind, intelligence, all these are gradually it develops. But initially you can see when we appear like this in the body form, in the space, and when we disappear from the space, it has nothing to do with the space. Space remains as it is. It's not affected by that, isn't it? But in a similar way, because in consciousness it is appearing that the body is appearing, therefore we feel that we have a separate existence because of the presence of the consciousness. That is what makes us feel that we exist because of the consciousness. So, therefore, this body, when it does not make any mark on the space, similarly, body does not make any mark on the consciousness either. Do you understand? That body, it doesn't make any mark on the space when it disappears. Similarly, body cannot make any mark on the consciousness either. That is the point Krishna is making there. If you carefully read that verse, Gunan Edan Aditya Trin Dehi Deha Samulbhavam. What does Dehi Deha Samulbhavam means? Dehi and Deham. Dehi is the Atma and Deham is the body. Isn't it? So consciousness is Dehi. Body is Deham. So consciousness and body, when they meet up each other, Gunan Edan Aditya Trin Dehi Deha Samulbhavam. That due to the contact of the Dehi and Deham, due to that connection that has come up, therefore our existence. Therefore we are existing. Because of the consciousness and the contact with the matter. Dehi and Deham. Dehi Deha Samulbhavam. Only from that contact, Samulbhavam produce, from that product, the product of that is what we are. Because of consciousness and the matter, isn't it? So he says here, Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkha Vimuktam Amadam Asnute. Once you come to understand this, that because of the disappearance of the body, we haven't lost anything. Nothing has been lost. Or in this body, a personal ego develops. Ahankaram comes, isn't it? So the appearance of this false ego or the disappearance of this false ego has nothing to do with the self, Alpha, in the sense that so you can see, like what Krishna is saying here is that due to this contact with Dehi and Deham, Dehi is the consciousness, Alma, and Deham is the body. Due to that, Dehi Deha Samul Bhavam, because of that, all these things are happening. But due to that alone, that it has come in the form of Ahangara, Vyaktirupam. Vyaktirupam means that the personal ego, personal identity, individual identity, ego, personality in other words. Just because the personality has developed, it has not affected the self still. It hasn't affected the self. And due to that, you have not gained anything, you have not lost anything. Why? Because you can see in the deep sleep state, when you lose your personality, does anything happen? Nothing happens, isn't it? And what actually happens there is, you are achieving something in the deep sleep. Deep sleep, isn't it? So, because in the deep sleep state, actually the experience of the consciousness, pure consciousness is coming to us. So, I mentioned many times before that rishis, the sages found out this. That normally in material life, what do they say? Achieve more, acquire more, acquire more, acquire more, and become happy. That's the material principle. Spiritual principle is, give up everything, give up everything, give up everything. Finally lose yourself, the body itself, let it go. And if you lose everything, you'll become happy. This is the spiritual principle. So, totally opposite to the materialistic idea. Materialistic idea is to get more, get more, get more and become happy. That is called Maya. That's called Maya. Krishna is saying, because of the three modes of nature in us, we do like that. We go after everything and get it, get it, get it, get this, get that, get everything and try to become and still not happy. Krishna is saying to us, give up everything, give up everything, give up everything. And the perfect example is that deep sleep state where you have even given up your body, mind, personality even, intelligence and ego, your ahankaram, personality also goes away and you are happy. That's what it existed there. That's what Krishna says here. That the daily experience in the sushupti, this is daily experience in the sushupti, isn't it? So, when the false ego comes up in the morning, what else comes with that? Fear. Fear comes. Oh, I have to look after myself. I have to do so many things to take care of me. And all the anxiety, agitation, depression, these are all part of that false ego. It is false ego that creates all that, isn't it? And all of them, when that false ego dissolves in the sushupti state, that all goes away. Depression goes away, anxiety goes away, and all the agitation goes away, and all your fear goes away. So you can see, all these emotions are part of that personality, not a part of Alma. It's not coming from Alma. It has nothing to do with the self. This is the important thing. Self is not creating any anxiety. It's all created by this ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one. And not only that, in that deep sleep state, I am perfect. 100% perfect. So, emperor, beggar, a patient, diseased person, healthy person, a young man, an old man, all of them, once they have gone into deep sleep state, they are perfect. Is it not? You are sick when you are in the vacant state. Or in the dream state even you could be sick. But in the deep sleep you are not sick. Isn't it? So you can see many things what we are using in the Vyavaharam, you can't take it to deep sleep. It's only in the vacant state you can talk about it, or he's a rich man. In the vacant state, he's a rich man. He could be in the deep sleep, whether he's rich or poor hardly matters. Isn't it? Same thing in the famous person. In the vacant state, he is famous. In the deep sleep, he is there, he's famous or not, what does it matter? So, when you see here, when you bring it to your personality level, or into the level of the body, or generally what we say is Upadhi Mandalam. Upadhi Mandalam, Vyakti Mandalam is personality level, or bodily level, Sharira Mandalam, or you can say Upadhi Mandalam. Upadhi Mandalam means mind, body, intelligence, ego, all of them. There, once you come to Vadi Mandalam, all these differences comes. Which one? Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, and all other things. Whatever you identify with, emperor, minister, and officer, policeman, or whatever, all identities are only in the vacant state. All identities are only in the vacant state. And that state, which completely deny all various differences, is the Sushupti state. Sushupti state, isn't it? But what exists there is still coverage. Coverage is there. Coverage, avaranam. And that also comes and goes. So in Sushupti state, whatever that vastu is there present, which is covered by that avaranam or covering potency, that and that vastu, which has been covered by that covering potency, that vastu is present in the dream state. That vastu is present in the vacant state also. And it is present when you are a young child, or a boy, or in the old age. That it is the same vastu that is present in all states, isn't it? And that vastu, which is present in the dream state, in the deep sleep, and in the youth, in the old age, and that vastu will remain always, whether even kalpam time goes away, kalpam or yugam goes away. And that is the same vastu what is present in Lord Brahma also. In Lord Brahma also. And it is the same vastu that is present in the worm also. That vastu is the same, is present in the worm also. So, just like they say, the scientists say that what they call the amoeba or whatever, that's also there is life there, and that is the same vastu. Vastu is not different. Vastu is not different. They call the unicellular organism, so something like that. Mm-hmm. So when we realize that vastu that is present in Lord Brahma, and the vastu that is present in every living species, including that smallest thing, and when you realize that, then Krishna is saying, Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkham Vimuktam Amadam Asnute. Such a person doesn't have any more birth after that. Only after that. So you can see that where it is coming from. Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkham Vimuktam Amadam Asnute. Krishna says he gets liberated at that stage. That means you got to come to understand this, that Krishna's point, that this escape from birth is not a simple thing. It is through realization you escape. It's through realization you escape. And that realization is what Krishna is talking about in this chapter. Going beyond the three modes of material nature, and also seeing here that vastu, what is it, the closest existence of us of that state is Sushupti. It is in Sushupti you have a clearer proof of your freedom and independence, that what actually you are, is it not? There you have lost your body, you lost your mind, you lost your intelligence, and including your identity as false ego. Also you are losing it there, ahankaram. When everything is gone, all that remains in the deep sleep state is simply the happiness of that, what they call as the that amradatvam or immortality, that is simply happiness what we report in the morning when you wake up from that. When you come to Upadhi Mandalam, which means after waking up in the morning, that means you are coming to Upadhi Mandalam. Upadhi Mandalam means body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. In that Upadhi Mandalam, every problem is there, differences are there between one thing or the other. We create all these differences in the world. Dvaitam is important, isn't it? Dvaitam is important for the world. World recognizes Dvaitam. World wants Dvaitam. And it is through Dvaitam all vyavaharam happens. Somebody is rich, somebody is poor. So the rich man has to give money to the poor, or the things like that. And so many things, all our vyavaharam is in Dvaita Prapancham. It cannot be otherwise. So only in Dvaita Prapancham you can do vyavaharam. But that happens only in the vacant state. What Krishna is saying to us, compare these three states properly. Try to understand that when you go to the deep sleep, what you are experiencing there is different, is escaping from all these differences in relationship with body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all other bodily identities, and come back to your pure state. There is no differences, everything is the same. So Krishna's point is that whether you, that vastu, what is in that deep sleep state, it is the same vastu who is present in the dream state, in the vacant state, in the boyhood, youthhood, old age, in all stages, in the male, female form, in all these things, that vastu what is there is the same. There's no difference at all. And it is the same vastu who is present in Lord Brahma, and it is present in the smallest ant or amoeba or whatever it is. So, and once you have realized this, Krishna is saying, in your realizations, if it has happened, then this point, when what Krishna says there, Janma Mrutya Jara Dukher Vinuttam Amrutam Ashnate. You see, this realization is this Dehi Deha Samulbhavam. This is what we spoke about. Dehi Deha Samulbhavam means that. And once you have realized that, Krishna is saying there, Janma Mrutya Jara Dukher Vinuttam Amrutam Ashnate. You got freed from the three problems of birth, death, and Jara, old age. You have been freed from that. Now, but such a person doesn't have any more birth, Krishna is saying there. Doesn't have any more birth. Now, when Bhagavad Gita was started, when Krishna started Bhagavad Gita, he started this verse, isn't it? Na jayate mriyate va na mriyate va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashvataha puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. And saying like that, Krishna started Bhagavad Gita. And then when he progressed, he came and said, Vasamsi jinanai yatha vihaya navani grihnadi narogarani tatha sharirani haya jirna anyadi samyadi navani dehi. He said, like you change your clothes, change your clothes. Similarly, he says that you change your body. So, who is changing the body then? On the one hand, Krishna is saying that na jayate, you have no birth, you have no death, nothing. That, so you can see from one verse to another how much things have changed, isn't it? So then who is taking birth and who is going from one body to another body? And it is not happening to that person who is na jayate, na mriyate, va kadajal, nayam bhutva bhavido anabhuya. Who goes then? It goes, the ahankaram goes. The false ego is the one which is changing the body. Is it not? False ego is the one which is changing the body, not alma. It is what we call it as jiva or the ahankaram. That is who is changing the body. So if this point is very clear, then it makes all sense. Otherwise it doesn't make sense. Because very nature of the soul is he doesn't make any contact with anything. This ahankaram is the one who is present. Where is he? Ahankaram is in the subtle body, sushma shariram, isn't it? And it is he who goes from one body to another body. One body to another body. The absolute truth, he doesn't have birth or death. He doesn't have birth or death. But when he identifies with this subtle body, what happens? He is identifying with this subtle body, and at that time, and when that happens, birth, death, old age and disease and all appears as though it's happening to him, to the Atma,
to the truth.
Isn't it? So, that is what Krishna says here. Janma mrutya jara dukkham vimuktam amritam asnyute. That when this, if you are identifying with them, with him, see, there's an identification problem here. Alma nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. Eternal, pure, full of conscious, full of knowledge or full of consciousness, the Buddha, fully conscious and fully liberated. That's his pure nature, Alma. Ahangaram, which is jiva, continuously going through birth, death, old age and disease. This link happened between the two. That is the point Krishna is making here. That Krishna says here, when you are identifying with the, when it is identifying, Atma is identifying with the subtle body, then birth, death, all these things appears as though it's happening to you, And Krishna said, when Krishna said like this, Arjuna asked the question, how will one transcend these three modes of nature? Three modes of nature is also in this subtle body, isn't it? It's not in the Atma. Atma doesn't have any modes of nature. It's all in this subtle body. And it is the three modes of nature that makes this happen. Which one? Atma's identification with the subtle body. And once this identification has happened, then automatically we think we are this body and we have to go take rebirth again. Birth, death, old age, disease, everything comes. So you can see how the modes of nature works, isn't it? Purusha prakritistohi bunjan prakritijan gunan, Krishna mentioned before. Purusha, Atma, he has nothing to do with any of these things. But the moment coming to contact with prakriti, which means three modes of nature, he has to eat that result of the food of prakriti. What is? Prakritijan gunan. Gunan does these things. Which means janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadi, all these things happen. So when Krishna said that, Krishna says, only due to identification this has happened. Arjuna asked a question, how will you go out of these three modes? How will you get out of this? And so in on what basis will you say someone has gone beyond the three modes? This was Arjuna's next question. And can you explain that to me? Krishna says, how will I know somebody has gone beyond the three modes of material nature? And how will one get over this, transcend the three modes of material nature? That is Arjuna's next question, you can see. 21st verse. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Kairlinge strin gunan etan. Atido bhavadi prabho. Kim achara katham chaitam. Tringunana divartate.
Arjuna
uvacha. Kairlinge strin gunan etan. Atito bhavadi prabho. Kim achara katham chaitam. Tringunana divartate. So Arjuna's question. Arjuna is asking that Kairlinge Stream Gunan Etan Adido Bhavadi Prabho Kim Achara Katham Chaitams Trim Gunan Adivartade. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by what symptoms is one known who is transcendental to those modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? So that is the question. We have seen before also Arjuna asked about sthita prajñatvam. In the same way, Krishna is going to answer that here. So, in the Gunaneda Daditiatrin in the last verse, Dehi Deha Samantaran, Janma Mrityu Jara Dukhaya, Vimuttam Amrita Masnade, Vimuttam Amrita Masnade. So basically, transcending the three modes of nature means transcending birth, death, old age and disease. Yeah. If you transcend the three modes of nature, you have transcended birth, death, old age and disease. Isn't it? Gunan edhan edhoktan aditya jivan eva adikramya maya ubhadi bhutan trin dehi deha samulbhavan deho ulpati bija bhutan janma mrityu jara dukhai janma cha mrityu ho cha jara cha dukhani cha tehi jivan eva vimuktaha san vidvan amritam asnute eva malbhavam adigachari ityartaha. Here, he says here, while living in this world, in this body, you have to get over the three modes, not afterwards. Right here, while living in this body, if you get over the three modes of material nature, and at that time you will know that it is from the three modes of material nature that the body has come, that the body has come. You will know that when you, if you transcend the modes of nature. So he says here, and that person who have understood that, yani who has realized that truth, he will, while living, he is freed from, he is released from birth, death and old age. And he becomes like me. Krishna says there. Jivan eva gunan aditya amrutam asnute iti prasna bijam pradilabhya Arjuna vacha. So, while living itself, transcending the three modes of material nature, while living itself, and when Krishna, and you become immortal, and you come to the state of immortality, amrutattvam, he says. That's what Krishna said in the last verse. Isn't it? If you look here, you will see that Janma mrityu jara dukher vimuktam amrutam ashnute. Amrutam ashnute. You become immortal here itself. While living, you have to get over the three modes of nature. Nothing in the Bhagavad Gita is actually after death. Everything is now, here. This after death thing is another thing. It has, it's more based on belief. You can believe. It's like every religion, isn't it? So many religions in this world, they make you different offers to you. They tell you so many different things, is it not? So, Bhagavad Gita is not like that. Bhagavad Gita gives importance to this life here, now. Here, if you can achieve something, that's your success. That's what you'll take with you. That's what your credit goes to you. But after death, whatever happens, that's another thing. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see more spoken based on now, here. In the second chapter also, Brahmi Sthiti Partha here, he says. Now, right now in this world, you have to get it. Whatever you make progress, that's your. But afterwards what happens, don't know what will happen. That's not in our control. So, it is in that context, Arjuna is also asking this question. Arjuna's question is that these three gunam, you have to transcend. How do you transcend that? And what is the symptom of a person who has transcended that? Very important questions, isn't it? So, the same thing here, you can see that three in gunan, same three in English also. English three, same as Sanskrit three. It's not different at all. So, so this English three has come from the Sanskrit three, nothing else. So here, Bhashyam, he says here, that kayam lingehi chinehi trin edhan vyakhyadhan gunan adhidaha adhikrando bhavadi prabhokim acharaha kaha asya acharaha idikim acharaha katham kena prakarena edhan trin gunan adhivartate. So, what is his symptom when he has transcended? It's important to know that. Because only then you can know what is the nature of a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Isn't it? How does he behave in this world? And how do you transcend these three three modes of nature. Gunadidasya lakshanam gunadidato payam cha arjunena prishtaha asmin shloke prashna prashna dvayartham prativachanam shri bhagavani vacha yat tavat kairhi lingehi yukto gunadido bhavati iti tat shruno. So Krishna started now explaining the nature of a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. So, Trin Gunan Atita Bhavati Prabho, says Arjuna, isn't it? How will you find out that someone has gone beyond the three modes of nature? Which is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Very difficult thing. And is it possible to find out through any way that somebody has gone beyond the three modes of nature? Kim acharaha, Arjuna is asking, what will be his behavior in this world? And he also mentioned here that how will one person who wants to transcend the three modes, how can he go beyond the modes? And what will he like, one who has transcended the three modes? And what's the process, he's asking. And so that means Krishna has to talk about a few things now. The symptoms of a person who has transcended the three modes. And you can see that what is the symptom of a person? Gunatitan. He is called Gunatitan. As I mentioned before, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many, what do you call it, nomenclature, is it? Words used to explain a person in spiritual life. He is a jnani, he is a yogi, he is a devotee, he is a gunatitan, he is a dvandvatitan, and like this, various places Krishna will use different. Ultimately, it all refers to the same person who is moving in the spiritual path. So, here, what is his symptoms? And is it possible, how can I get to that state? This is Arjuna's question. How can I come to that state? These two questions. This is Arjuna's question. There is no point in knowing only the symptoms of a person, is it? That's no use. What is the benefit me knowing that, oh, these are the symptoms of a, somebody is a great Mahalma, but I'm like this, so what's the use? So I also want to escape, isn't it? Like he has escaped, I also want to escape. So that is why he says, Arjuna asking that question, you can see that, Kimacha aham, Kayu Lingair Srin Gunadita, Katham, Kimacharaha, Katham Chaidam Srin Gunan Adivartade. Arjuna straight away asked the question, how can I become that? What's the point in knowing other people have become Mahatmas if I can't become one? That is Arjuna's question. Arjuna is a very good question that is. How can I become one like them? Otherwise, knowing the symptoms of so many people are Mahatmas, that is no good to me at the end, isn't it? So how can I become one? That is why this question has come. So, so from this you can see these two questions. First class people in spiritual life, they will not ask about vastu nishtam. Always it is atma nishtam. Let me explain that what it means. Vastu nishtam means collecting information. First class people don't collect information. First class people ask this question, how can I get it, make it happen in me? Atmanishtam. This is the difference between Vastunishtam and Atmanishtam. Vastunishtam means generally everything is Vastunishtam in the world. Vastunishtam means you study about a particular thing, you analyze it, you discuss about it, but you don't discuss about in you what is happening, isn't it? So basically you can see objective questions are totally meaningless in spiritual life. Objective questions. It has to be always subjective. Always subjective. It's no point in me knowing so many things in this world. If what is going to happen to me, that is the most important thing in spiritual life. What's going to happen to me? That's most. Only if this Vastunishtha, Atmanishtam questions comes up, you can say that you are going in the right track. For example, when you are living in this world, there will be a lot of influence from the world. Influence in the world is always Vastunishtam. It is never Atmanishtam. That you have to know. That everything will drag you in different ways. So many things will come up in life and they will pull you towards that and waste your time. So to escape from Vastunishtam, Atmanishtam, that means to become subjective rather than objective. That is spiritual life. In spiritual life, always it is like that. They don't give any value to Vastunishtam. It's always Atmanishtam. And that's exactly what you see there, Arjuna's question. Arjuna is asking the question, Katham Chaidam Srim Gunan Ativartade. It is Atmanishtam. Atmanishtam is that chodyam, that question. It's like that. So, question should be subjective. Otherwise, what is the meaning for all these things, isn't it? Vastunishtam has, questions have no benefit. No benefit. You will inquire, just like I am inquiring about the moon, I am inquiring about the Mars. Similarly, I am inquiring about so many Mahalpas, that's all it is. Nothing more than that. I inquire about so many Mahalpas and I find out there where he was here, he was there, so many people lived so. But ultimately, what did I get it from that? If I make it, then it's worthwhile knowing all these things, isn't it? So, therefore, rishis found out this. This is their first discovery. They found out that all their analysis, rishis, all their analysis, their inquiries, is always Atmanishtam. And that is the way they gave importance to. Rishis never took any importance to Vastunishtam. That is why you don't see anything in the Upanishads or anything spoken very much about Vastunishtam. Vastunishtam is science. See, spiritual life is Atmanishtam. That is the big difference. So, how will it benefit me? That is the most important thing in all these things, isn't it? How will it benefit me? What's the use of all these things? Krishna is talking to us that Trim Gunan Adivartade. How will you transcend? You transcend the three modes of nature. Then you have escaped from this problem of Janma Mrityu Jara. Janma Mrityu Jara. You have escaped if you escape from the three modes. Krishna said before. Arjuna's question is, Smitami, he says, Chaidam Srim Gunan Adivartade. How will I transcend? That's what he's asking. He's not asking that who all have escaped from the three modes of nature. What's the point in knowing that? They have escaped and they have gone. I'm still here in the three modes. It hasn't helped me at all. So that is the point Krishna is raising here. I am still in the material existence. Is there any possibility for me to come out of these three modes of nature? And the answer to that is the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Prakasham cha Pravrittim cha,
Prakasham cha Pravrittim cha,
Mohameva cha Pandava,
Mohameva cha Pandava,
Nadveshti Sampravrittani,
Nadveshti Sampravrittani,
Nanivrittani Kankshati,
Nanivrittani Kankshati,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Prakasham cha Pravrittim cha,
Prakasham cha Pravrittim cha,
Mohameva cha Pandava,
Nadveshti
Sampravrittani,
Nanivrittani
Kankshati, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Prakasham cha Pravrittim cha, Mohameva cha Pandava, Nadveshti Sampravrittani, Nanivrittani Kankshati. So Krishna is going to start answering this question, these two questions. First question, that how do you know a person who has transcended the three modes of nature? And the second question is, how can I transcend the modes of nature? That is the two important questions Arjuna has asked here, isn't it? So, so here, in this verse, there are many things to know in Bhagavad Gita. Particularly when you look at even Arjuna's questions, you can see from a person who is in spiritual life, from his point of view, what should be his goal? That is the most important thing, isn't it? What does Arjuna want? He is absorbed in the spiritual life. He is hearing from Krishna about the nature of Atma, about the soul. And naturally, Krishna's answers have created this interest in Arjuna to ask this question, how can I become that state, come to that state? So in this verse, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, the three modes of nature, Krishna has coined three words for that. Instead of directly saying Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, he gave the three names Prakasham, Pravritti and Moham. If you look at the verse, you will see that. That is nothing but Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Prakasham cha, Pravrittim cha, Mohameva cha, Pandava. So instead of saying Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Krishna used these three words. Prakasham, Pravritti and Moham. Prakasham means Sattvagunam. And Sattvagunam, because Prakasham is the symptom of Sattvagunam. Illumination. Knowledge and illumination. That Prakasham. So, one who has understood the symptoms of these three modes of material nature, or Tattvavit, or Tattvavit Jnani, or one who has known these three modes of material nature, that person, Krishna is saying here, that how should he be? And in the same words, you will see that explanation also. One who has known the three modes of material nature, how he should be. So, so here, you will see here, one who has known, if you look at the words, you'll see, Prakasham cha pravurtim cha mohameva cha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kankshati. So, Prakasham cha sattva kairyam. Prakasham means sattva gunam. Pravurtim cha rajakairyam. Pravurtim means rajogunam. Pravurti is rajogunam. Moham eva cha tamakairyam. Tamogunam is moham. Idi edani na dveshti sampravurtani Samyak Vishaya Bhavena Ulbhudhani. So, what first thing Krishna is saying is, you will always have these three modes of nature. Which one? Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. In everyone. But when they come, now he's talking about the person who has transcended the modes of nature. Krishna is saying here, when they come, na dveshti sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati. That is the first symptom of that person. First symptom is like that. What is that? When they come, he does not find fault with them. About the three modes of nature. He does not find fault with them. He is saying, he knows very well they have come. And he knows well they will go. Because they have come, they have to go. They can't stay. So, this is his first realization of the one who has transcended the modes of nature. Every time a mode comes, he is conscious that such and such a mode has come. They are all uninvited guests, isn't it? They come. You can see, you get anger. What is it? You didn't want to get angry, but it comes. Similarly, all other, they will always come. They are not going to go away. They will keep coming. But the thing is that you have to transcend them. Transcending is like this. Krishna says, first symptom of that person is, he knows, na dveshti. He will not get upset. Oh, I became angry. We all get angry. We get upset because we got angry. Isn't it? We get upset with us, ourselves. Often people will get upset with themselves. Saying that, oh, I shouldn't have got angry. And only somebody has to come and tell you that, oh, you are saying you are a spiritual person, you are getting angry, then you get more angry with that. The world has a nature like that. The world is like that. They don't understand spiritual life. What they do is they have certain understanding of spiritual life in their mind. They form an opinion about spiritual personality in their mind. And they keep testing you whether you have got it. They don't check whether they have got it or not. They will always verify whether you have got it or not. And you will always, especially within the family, when people who are not agreeable with you in spiritual life, they will always question you, verify your spiritual advancement. They are monitoring for you, your spiritual life. They will monitor for you. And their way of monitoring is like this. They will check it up and tell you that, oh, you are getting angry. You have been practicing spiritual life for so many years. that is coming from that tamogunam in that person. Because he doesn't understand anything. Krishna is saying here that when they come, nadveshti sampravrutani nanivrutani kankshani. First thing, nadveshti, he doesn't get upset with them. Secondly, he is not concerned to come out of it either. He is not too concerned about it, that he wants to come out of it. So in other words, knowing that you are in a particular mode is more important than escaping from that mode. Mode is too powerful. Modes are very, very powerful. It's not always so easy to come out of it from a particular mode. But what Krishna's point is, nadveshti sampravrutani nanivrutani kamshadi. Krishna is saying here, he does not want to come out of it, but he is fully conscious that I am in that mode of rajogunam, or I am in the mode of rogunam, I am in the mode of satugunam. Knowing the particular mode and utilizing it is the right thing to do. Not to fighting against the mode, that will not work. That's the point Krishna is making here. Prakasham ja sattvakaryam, prakrtim ja rajakaryam, moham ja eva ja tamakaryam, iti edani na dveshti, sampravrutani, samyak vishaya bhavena ulbhudhani. So, prakasham is sattvikam, rajasa is karmam, moham is tamasa. The three things, illusion, work, karma, rajogunam, and satugunam is prakasham. So, first thing, he does not find fault with them when they come. After all, they are all modes of nature, isn't it? Modes of nature. So, mama, tamasa pratyayo jadaha. This is a very interesting verse, because if you understand this verse, then you know where things are going wrong in our own life. In our own life. Mama tamasa pratyayo jadaha tena aham mudaha tatha rajasi pravartihi mama ulpanna bukhalmiya tena aham rajasa pravartidaha prachalidaha surupar kashtam mama varteida vartade yaha ayam mal surupa avasthana brahmshaha tatha satyo gunaha prakashatmamam vivegitvam apadayan sukhe samjanayan badhnadi idi tani iti tani dveshti asamyak darshitvena tad eva gunadhito na vidveshti sampravrutani. It's a very long purport on that. First thing, suppose when tamogunam comes to us, what do we think first? We think I'm very stupid. You say, I'm moda. I'm thinking. That's tamogunam. Tamogunam makes you think like that. And I also think that when rajogunam comes, that's why I'm so busy in this world. You think like that, isn't it? Karma, prakriti makes it like that. And because of rajogunam only, I'm doing so many kinds of, so much work in this world. And because of my karma, I'm doing so many karma, I end up with all kinds of problems. Once you get involved in karma, that's what it brings, isn't it? And it upsets my life. It upsets my life. And similarly, when sattugunam comes, what happens? Then you start feeling some happiness in life. And you feel that you are thinking in the right direction. And I'm experiencing some happiness and peace in life. But when all these gunam, three modes are coming and going, at the same time, I'm getting bound by that. I'm getting bound by that. But when you don't realize it, that these modes are only doing one thing, they are binding me in this world. And such a person who does not, is aware, not aware of it, the nature of the modes of material modes, what happens is, when every time mode comes, he suffers from its after effects. Is it not? When tamogunam comes, you suffer from its after effect. When rajogunam comes, you suffer from its after effect. Equally, when sattugunam comes also, you suffer from its after effect. Suffer in the sense that you identify with it. That's what it is, isn't it? Krishna is saying here, if you have transcended the modes, you will not any time again condemn any modes. They have come and they will go. This is the art of spiritual life. Many, many great personalities, if you observe them, they also get tamogunam in them. They also get rajogunam. But the point is, they know how to stay from away from the modes unaffected by that. This is what we have to learn. Not to change the mode or repair the mode. Modes will always come. We want to fix the mode. That will not work. That because all the modes are necessary in life. You need tamogunam to sleep. You need rajogunam to do some work. You need sattugunam to develop spiritual knowledge. So how can you say that other modes are not necessary? They are necessary. But when all these modes are coming, a jnani or a realized soul, first thing is, he is very alert that such and such a mode has come to visit me, and he will go after a while. Rajogunam or sattugunam or tamogunam. And he knows very well they have come from modes of nature, from prakriti. And he also knows that it is a work of Maya. It is not in me. Maya is doing this. And only such a person can control over this. Yathacha, Satyugadi Purushaha, Satyugadi Karyani Atmanam Prati Prakashya Nivrtani Kankshadi, Na Tatha Gunadito Nivrtani Kankshadi Ityarthaha. That means, if a person is in Sattugunam, Krishna gives me a little bit more details about that. When sattugunam comes and sattugunam goes, what happens? I would like to get that sattugunam back again. A trans person who has transcended the three modes, he doesn't want it. He does not think sattugunam should come back again. In other words, within himself, he has made a very clear separation between the modes and him. That's what has happened. Normally you can imagine, when we all, most of us, isn't it? Even if a little sattugunam comes to us, we want that sattugunam come back again. Because we know how hellish it is, rajogunam and tamogunam. Therefore, we think sattugunam is a better situation. Krishna is saying, this gunadidan, who has transcended the three modes, even when sattugunam comes and goes away, he will not desire again that let sattugunam comes. That means he gives complete freedom for prakriti to work. He allows prakriti to work in its own way, he stays out of the prakriti. That much freedom he has got. He has attained that freedom. That's what Krishna is saying here. But suppose you are in sattugunam, what will happen? You will say, oh, when will I get that mode again? Often it happens, isn't it? You felt some good thing in spiritual life, you experienced some happiness in spiritual life, then say you have chanted a lot of rounds and you felt a feeling of sattugunam inside. And then you didn't chant for many days, or you chanted very minimum as per the agreement, contract, whatever that is, you chanted that, finished that. And then also you didn't feel that feeling of sattugunam. But then, during the course of life, so many things went on, and finally you've started desiring. The other day I felt very good when I was chanting so many rounds and all that happiness. You will desire again to get that back, isn't it? But Krishna's point is that gunadidan, one who has transcended the three modes of nature, he is not inviting any one of them individually to come. Nor he laments about if any one of them goes. In other words, a Sakshi attitude. They are coming, they are going, not affected by that. This is transcending the modes means. Whether sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam comes or goes, he is not bothered. Not bothered means, not that he will do what he likes. No, he knows very well, the sattugunam has come, it will go. Rajogunam has come, it will go. Edat na para pratyaksham lingam ki tarahihi. Swatma pratyakshatvad, alpa vishayam, eva. Edat lakshanam nahi swalpa vishayam dvesham akanksham va paraha pashyati. All these symptoms, what Krishna is talking about, is only applicable to the soul. It's not applicable to the subtle body. It's only applicable to the soul. And these things topics are only in relationship with the Ahangaram, inside, isn't it? So this, for example, anxiety or dvesham or hate, all these things only comes to us at a particular time, you say. It happens, doesn't happen to others all the time. When it happens to me, it happens to me only, not to others. So, because it is like that, edat na paraprataksham lingam ki tarhi, swalpa pratyakshatvat alpa vishayam eva edat lakshanam nahi swalpa vishayam dvesham akamsham va parapashyati. It is based on that, Krishna will talk about a few things, that all these emotions, for example, dvesham, hate, or anger, when it happens, it seems to happen only in us, in our individual personality. It's not happening in others at the same time. So, here you can see that the Sattvagunam comes, he is not getting attached to it when Sattvagunam comes. Therefore, when Sattvagunam comes, what happens at that time? You get interested in spiritual life in Sattvagunam. That's the first symptom of Sattvagunam. You become a little bit attracted to spiritual life. Meditation, japam, dhyanam, bhakti, or reading, swadhyayam, shastram, all these things becomes important in life. You give some importance to it, isn't it? But because you are able to do all that, that doesn't mean that you get trapped in that. You get trapped in that. Because there also, the modes of nature is working. You have to remember that. When you are getting attracted to chanting the holy name, deity worship, or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, or Salsangam, Bhakti, Jnanam, all these things, that will happen when mode of goodness comes in a person. Yeah. So when a mode of goodness comes, those things happen. But because it has happened, we should not get attached to it. Because you should be conscious at that time, Sattvagunam is working in me. That's all you have to be conscious of. This is how it works. Sattvagunam is working in me, that is why it is happening. And I am none of that. I am none of, because Sattvagunam is Prakriti, isn't it? It's also Prakriti. On the other hand, I am pure soul, consciousness. Pure consciousness. So, all time, in the form of awareness or bodham or consciousness, in the past, present and future, in all these times, I am existing whether these modes are coming or not. This is the realization from that. Modes are coming and going, but I exist always in the form of pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure awareness, I am existing. These experiences I am having is due to the presence of the modes, nothing else. In me, Alma, as the soul, pure consciousness, whether it's past, present, or future, and all time, I am pure consciousness, always. I am always pure consciousness. If it is like that, if this is realized, then in the mind, even in the mind, when these emotions and relationships with Sattvagunam, when they come, you won't get trapped in that. In Sattvagunam, it is easy to get trapped. It's easy to get trapped. Now, what Krishna says here is that look at what Sattvagunam does to you first. Sattvagunam creates these things. What are they? Bhakti, Jnanam. Then encourage you for deity worship, or salsangam, or japam, dhyanam, all different things. This is all coming from the Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is that generates these thoughts in a person. When that happens, this person who is transcended the three modes of nature, he clearly sees that the modes of nature is doing that in me. That much separation has happened to him. Whereas otherwise what will happen? He will get trapped in that mode, in the mode of goodness. He'll get trapped there. So, if you get trapped, what will happen? After some time it will go. Because it has come, it has to go. And once it goes, you will start lamenting, like the way you are feeling happy. So this lamentation and hankering happens in Sattvagunam. When Sattvagunam comes and goes, you will have lamentation, hankering after that again. That shouldn't happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. Even when Sattvagunam comes and creates this this situation, which is the after effect of Sattvagunam, is Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam, and also Japam, Dhyanam. These are all after effect, Salsangam. These are all after effect of Sattvagunam. Even when that happens, the person who has transcended the modes of nature, he will observe this and find that all this is happening because Sattvagunam has come. So that when Sattvagunam goes away, he won't lament about it. Hankering and lamentation won't happen. So you can see how conscious we have to be all these things with ourselves, isn't it? When they come. Similarly, when Rajogunam comes, what does Rajogunam does? Immediately get up, isn't it? And start the action. Man of action. So and some people feel happiness from Rajogunam. They will declare, oh, I could work up to midnight, they'll say. Because Rajogunam has helped to work till midnight. Or some people want to be very busy in life, isn't it? To tell others. They want to look at their diary and want to make sure that they're fully engaged from morning 5 o'clock to right midnight. Every hour there is something to do. Things to do, as they call it. Isn't it? So all these gadgets what we have got, they've all got a diary attached to it. So you can put your program for the rest of the day. And when anybody says to you, can we come and see you, sir? He says, only let me look at my diary first. So to show to them that you are a very busy man, important person in this world. So all of these maya is Rajogunam. There's nothing but Rajogunam it is, isn't it? So when Rajogunam comes, you feel happiness from all these things, this kind of show. And when Rajogunam comes, you're feeling that some kind of kick inside. And you feel that, oh, let Rajogunam remain here for some time because then I can do a lot of things. Or, other way, sometimes Rajogunam gives you a lot of distress also. It gives both. It gives you some kind of silly happiness and kind of stupid distress also. It gives you a lot of distress sometimes. And then you feel, oh, why did I get involved in all these things? I shouldn't have got involved. You start thinking in another way. And let me get rid of this because I got involved with this Rajogunam. That's why it has happened like this. But this person, Gunadhidan, Krishna is saying here, one who has transcended the three modes of nature, he is totally detached. He doesn't care. When Rajogunam comes and goes, he still, exactly like the way he dealt with Sattvagunam, he will deal with Rajogunam also. In other words, when Rajogunam is working, then he is not affected. He is not affected. So, so, what it says here, that he sees his own body as though it is like the body of somebody else. That much he is separated from the body, detached from the body. Upanishad says like this, that pashyati anya shariravat. Pashyati anya shariravat. He sees his own body as it is some separate another body, like somebody else's body. Somebody else's body. So, but when the Rajogunam comes, he may, according to that gunam, he may act in this world. He may act in this world or do some karmam accordingly. But there is no attachment there. There is no attachment there. That is the success. And because he knows that it will go, that Rajogunam also will go. Rajogunam also will go. Rajogunam is also very difficult to say which one is the best. All three of them gives you trouble, one way or the other. So similarly, when Sattvagunam comes, you should know that Sattvagunam will also go. Rajogunam, when it comes, you should know that it will also go. And when Tamogunam comes also, you should know it will go. Sometimes you get this Tamogunam, isn't it? And you just don't feel like doing anything. You feel completely disgusted with life. or you feel don't know what is the next thing to do, and you don't want to see anyone. Great sannyasis say like that, if you get that kind of mood, go into a room and close, shut the door, because otherwise you will spread that everywhere else, with others also. That is the nature of that tamogunam. So, but this gunadhidan, who has transcended the three modes, he does not get disturbed, whether any gunam comes, and he does not desire that it should come back, he doesn't desire that it should go away. Neither of them. That is gunadhita state. Gunadhita state. In other words, all the three in a balanced state. He is in a balanced state. So, actually, all the three states are necessary. You can't say, I don't want rajagunam tamogunam, because if you want to do anything, you need rajagunam, isn't it? Suppose you want to get into the car and drive off from here. You need rajagunam, otherwise you'll be sitting there for the rest of the life. You won't get up. So, rajagunam is necessary. Similarly, if this balance is not there, what will happen? What will happen? When you go to the office, you will feel like chanting Hare Krishna in the office. You won't be doing any work there. And similarly, when you come home and you start chanting, and you want sat down to chant the holy name, at that time all thoughts will come about the work. See that? How the modes of nature work? So when the balance is not there, this is what will happen. That in the wrong time, the wrong modes will start operating. Wrong modes will start operating. And similarly, when you want to sleep in the night, when you go to bed, you won't get sleep because there is no tamogunam. Instead, when you come and sit in the Bhagavad Gita class, you will get sleep. So this is how that modes of nature operating. So that what does that show? In the wrong place it comes. In the wrong place, at the wrong time, it comes. Everything unbalanced. If all of them are balanced in life, then it is correct. A right time in the sleep, when you go to sleep, if the sleep comes, at the right, that's what you need, tamogunam you need at that time. If tamogunam comes to you at the right time, if rajogunam comes to you at the time when you have to engage in activities, if satogunam comes to you at the time when you engage in spiritual activities, then they are in the balanced state. They are in the balanced state. But when you have to work, you have to work. When you have to work, you have to work. And no attachment there. And there to act in the proper way. In dharmam, according to religious principles. And at the time of sleeping, tamogunam has to come to us. Isn't it? And that tamogunam which comes to you at the time of sleep, that's not bad. That's necessary for the body to rest. For the body to rest. Similarly, if you sit down for chanting the holy name, or if you want to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, at that time, if satogunam comes, it's favorable for that. It is favorable for that. Now, if they are not coming at the right time in life, for most of us that's how it is, isn't it? It's exactly the opposite. In the night when you go to sleep, you don't get sleep. And when you come to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, you get good sleep. But if it happens like that, it's not harm in the sense that you don't get the sleep at night, doesn't matter, because you don't depend on the sleep. Don't depend on the sleep. If you know this, this is enough. Not to be particular that I should sleep. If you're not getting sleep at night, you shouldn't feel particular that I should get sleep. Of course, when you are young, it doesn't matter. But when you get older, this is a problem, isn't it? You don't get sleep at night, mainly due to various reasons. So, so at times you have to think like this. When you were a baby, you slept 16 hours. So, now you're not getting even 2 hours sleep. Even 2 hours sleep, isn't it? So, did anything happen because of that? When you slept 16 hours, nothing happened, isn't it? So, similarly, if you think now, that if I'm not sleeping, nothing is going to happen, what's going to happen? If you take it that way, it will not cause you much trouble. If you don't have the sleep, you don't have the sleep, what can you do? Or, if you are getting a lot of sleep, sleep as much as you want. till you had enough of it. That's all it is. It's not that don't start cursing the sleep, tamogunam, because of that. One person asked this question that he said, whenever I try to sit to chant the holy name, I start getting good sleep, he said. So the Mahatma told him that, he said, you then leave your beats bag or whatever it is and go to sleep. But one day you will come out of the sleep, isn't it? After sleeping for 2 days, 3 days, whatever time, amount of time you want to sleep, you sleep. And then when you come out of the sleep, you had enough, then you chant, he said. And if you are sitting sleep again, when you start chanting, go back to sleep again. But one day it will come to a stop. It will not be like that forever. So, whichever you are cursing, if you curse Rajogunam, or if you curse Satogunam, if you curse your Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, any of them, that will cause problems if you curse any of them. The reason is, there is a thing called Samrambha Yoga. Samrambha Yoga means that if wherever you give too much stress on something, that will not leave you. It will stay with you. So it will take long time for that to leave you, if you give too much importance to it. This is called Samrambha Yoga. In the Shastram they call the word, uses the word as Samrambha Yoga. So it will not leave you if you start giving this importance to these modes of nature, and it will stay a longer time in you. And because you want to have a certain thing to come, a particular modes of nature to come, because that desire is there, that vastu, it will take longer time for it to come. And therefore, you have to take notice of this, that things what you are frightened about, they will take long time to leave you also. You see, what happens is, about Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, we develop a certain fear and liking and disliking for them in us. Because we have developed this liking and disliking for different modes of nature, that is the one that causes problem. That is the main thing to know. Because when you have a liking and disliking, what will happen is that raga dvesham builds up inside. And because of that, as you mentioned before, that those objects, what we have spoken about before, that will, whichever you are finding hate or dvesham, for example, through Rajogunam you have developed hate. Through Tamogunam you have developed hate towards various things, isn't it? So hate develops. Or through Rajogunam you developed attachment. You remember that? Rajam Ragalmagam Vidhi. Rajogunam's nature is Ragam. And Tamogunam's nature is also Nidra, Alasyam, Pramadam. All that is the nature of Tamogunam. So, and Sattogunam is Prakasham, all that. Jnanam. Prakasham, Jnanam, these are Sattogunam. Abhimanam, Pravarti is Rajogunam. And Nidra, Alasya, Pramadam is Tamogunam. So, when the Gunam comes, what it does to us is, it creates Ragadvesham. Is it not? It will naturally happen. And once it has created this raga dvesham, then it takes a longer time to come out of it. That is the secret behind it. When the modes, why Krishna is saying like this is, that if the modes of nature, if you have developed this approach, attitude towards the modes of nature, then you will be able to tolerate the modes of nature without them creating ragadvesham inside. Once they have created ragadvesham inside, then you have to get rid of the ragadvesham first from inside. It takes longer time. And ragadvesham won't go very easily from inside. So, Krishna is saying here that one who does not have ragadvesham inside, or one who knows the nature of these three modes of material nature, that is the natural modes of material nature, he creates ragadvesham inside. And such a person who is called gunatitan, one who has transcended three modes of nature. When the three sattvagunam comes, rajogunam comes, tamogunam comes, he is not attached. He is not attached. And he does not desire that they should come. Any of them should come. And he does not desire that any of them should leave either. This is the only way you can come out of the three modes of nature. This tallies with what Krishna said before. Do you remember? Krishna never said to learn how to modify your modes. Krishna never spoke in those things anytime. Krishna always said that learn how to free yourself from the modes. And the technique of freeing from the modes is what Krishna is saying here. And that technique is that when they come, you're not saying don't come. And when they leave, don't say don't go. Neither way. That means you have got that proper balance with them. Proper balance with them. In every realized soul also gets tamogunam. That's how they sleep at night, otherwise they won't be sleeping, would they? We have got all false understanding about these things. We think that, oh, if you don't sleep, you're spiritually advanced. No, that's not true. Krishna is not saying anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita that if you're not sleeping, you're spiritually advanced. Where does it say? He says, yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya kamasu yukta supnava bhavadasya yoga bhavati dukaha. That person who is doing everything yuktam, that yuktam state is this. That they are coming, they are going, but you are not affected. That fineness in a person. That's what Krishna is expecting. So, therefore he says, prakasham cha sattva karyam, pravruttim cha rajasa karyam, moham eva cha tamasa karyam, pasyati. So, all these symptoms what Krishna has spoken here, these are meant for seeing within oneself, himself, not in others. After studying all these things, you go and testing on everybody else. What is he doing? What is he doing? That's not what it's intended for. So, and another person cannot find that out in you. It's not possible to find this out. Only you can find out this thing because it's happening in you. And you are the only person who is conscious of that. That is one of the aspects of this. So, it is not possible to find out for you what is happening. And because, good thing Krishna has said that, because these are internal things, suppose Krishna has spoken about the external things, what will do? You'll all look at the next person. What is in him happening? That's what we'll do, isn't it? If the external things are spoken, because they are all internal things, we will not have to look at others, you have to look at ourselves. So, because all these symptoms, what Krishna has spoken, only he can know it. Nobody else can know it. And because it is within himself, we have no choice except to look inwards and to see what's happening within us. You cannot find it out in others. So therefore, another word for gunatitan is called udasinan. You may have come across this word. Udasinan. Udasinan means this. Gunatitan. Udasinan. Udasinan means, Krishna uses the word in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into, Udasinan. In few places he will use this word. I think it is in the 12th chapter.
That's 14:23.
Which one?
14:23.
Yeah. Of course, here comes later. Udasina vadasino gunebhyam na vijayate guna vartanda itiva yoga tishtati nechale. So, there are other places as well. Udasina comes. This udasina nature is this. That is what it is. That udasina. Udasina means trigunam is working and you are not bothered. That fineness. In a person. Fineness in a person. So 23 is in it verse. Udasena vadasena. Gunaryo na vijayale. Gunavartanda itheon yovatishtari nengale.
9, 9.
So this Udasina is Krishna is talking about here, that the Udasidanasinam asaktam teshu karmasu namal najamantani karmani nibadhanandi dhananjaya Udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. That Udasinata state, that is what it is, Udasinata. So Udasinavadasinam is Udasinan. Udasinan means he is detached, he is not disturbed what's happening with it. What is that? So this word Udasinan means what? How do we understand that? The word explained it like this. Udasinan means one who is on. Asina means to be situated, sitting. Uda means on a higher level. That is how this word Udasinan has come. Uda Asinan. Uda means on a higher level. Asinan means one who is sitting there on a higher level. That's what it means. Udasinan means. So he is Udasinan. He is situated on a higher level. If you sit on a higher level, what does that mean? You have a distance from there, isn't it? So when you stay on a higher level from you, body is here, but I stay above the body, higher than the body. You have to go above the body, above the body. So then what happens? I have a distance between me and the body, and the body. So the higher I go, the bigger the distance between me and the body. So yeah. So you'll see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes you will see this, that when you have, you can observe this also. Suppose there was about 1,000 people sitting here. I won't be able to see all the 1,000, isn't, because they are distant from here. Only a few people who are next to me, sitting closer, I can see them. Because when the distance comes, object moves away from our vision. Isn't it? So in other words, when distance comes, the contact gets reduced from the person to the other person. If the distance comes, the contact, that's the nature of the world, isn't it? If you are far away from your closer friends or relations or whatever, then the contact also is less. It's natural in this world. Suppose you have relations in Australia or in America somewhere. Perhaps you may see them once a year. Perhaps you may make a call once in a way, if it happens. But always the relations is around here only. Lechmore, Heath, Watford, Stanmore, like this, you'll be moving, running around here. And you'll take all these relationships seriously. Whatever that is close by, within M25, you'll be running around. So the thing is this, that if the distance comes, the gap is more, so therefore the contact also less. In the same way, with these three modes of nature also, the more you move away from the three modes of nature, or you move away from the from the material life, then you can see here there will be a bigger space between you and the modes. And that is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse. So let us look at that. But here Krishna mentions there that the Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Udasina Vadasino.
Udasina Vadasino.
Gunairyo na vichalyate.
गुणावर्तन्दैत्येवम्
योवतिष्ठदिनेङ्गदे
उदासीनवदासीनो गुणैर्यो न विचाल्यते गुणावर्तन्दैत्येवम् योवतिष्ठदिनेङ्गदे.
सो From the last words you have understood, prakasham cha pravurtim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kamkshari. From there we have understood how important it is to create that gap, udasina state, udasina vadasinam. One should stay in that state and the gap should increase. The more the gap, the less the effect of the modes on us, isn't it? Like example, as hundreds, thousands of people are sitting there, I will only have contact with the few people who is sitting closer to me. Those who are sitting far away, I have no contact. They will be gone. They come and gone, it won't make any difference to me. It won't have an impact in me. Similarly, the more we move away from the three modes, what will happen? The modes won't have any effect on us. Udasina. That is what he was saying in the last verse, isn't it? That prakasham cha pravurtim cha moham eva cha pandava. So that distance is what Krishna calls it as na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kankshari. That is what creates that distance. Distance is created in that way. So udasina vadasinam asino gunair yona vichalyate guna vartanda ityevam yovatishtadi nengade.
So this 4 o'clock.
चेतोदर्पणमर्जनं वा महादावाग्निर्वापणं श्रेयकैतवचण्डिकावितरणं यावदूर्जीवनम् आनन्दामुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृदास्वादनं सर्वाप्नासुमनं परं विजयरे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापिदामेविदा स्मरणेन काल एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवान् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः प्रमारविषमीचेन तरोरपि सहिष्णुना अमोविनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदाद्भक्तिहरि दुहित्वयि किङ्करं पतितामां भवान् बुधो कृपया तव पादमन्दजस्थितदूडे सदृशं विचिन्तयाशुधारया वदनं दीर्घनिरुद्धया गिर पुलकैर्निजिनं कदावभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरतां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनं मर्म हतां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा दुलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा.
सो उदासीनवदासीनं कृष्ण सेयिङ्ग् दट् उदासीनवदासीनं गुणैर्यो न विचाल्यते गुणावर्तन्द इत्येवं योवतिष्ठति नेङ्गदे योवतिष्ठन्ति नेङ्गदे. सो उदासीनवदासीन मीन्स् ईवन् दो द थ्री मोड्स् आफ् नेचर् इस् वर्किङ्ग् इन् अस् ही विल् बि डिटाच् फ्रोम् दट् ही विल् बि डिटाच् फ्रोम् दट् इन् अदर् वर्ड्स् डिस्इण्ट्रेस्टेड् इन् वाट्स् गोयिङ्ग् आन् एण्ड् touchless, is not touched by that. Gunair yona vijayalyade. Because he does not get moved by the gunam. Gunavartande. Because he knows that gunam is with the vishayam, sense object. With the sense object. इत्यवतिष्ठति नेङ्गदे. It means that he is fixed in that understanding. That means सत्त्वगुणं रजोगुणं तमोगुणं in spite of their coming and going, his knowledge is not disturbed. He's fixed in his realization. He's fixed in his realization. It is the modes of nature that disturbs our realization, isn't it? Sometimes you get some realization, but it goes with the modes of nature. But he has come out of that. Even when the modes of nature is disturbing him, is coming and going, still he is not, his knowledge is not disturbed. Udasinam adasinam, he says. So, to be situated within himself, he doesn't move. So, he does not get trapped into the modes, in other words. And neither in the vasanas inside, nor the objects outside. They are together, isn't it? The vasanas inside makes contact with the sense objects outside. According to the vasana, you make the contact with the object outside. Suppose I have a strong desire for automobiles, my eyes and my thoughts will be always centered around that. Attention will be on the automobiles. Every car that goes on the street, I'll start looking at them. According to the vasana inside. Similarly, everything else. If I am attached to good prasadam, when I walk through the street, I'll see what all they got to sell to eat. Laddus or jalebis or whatever that. Or I'll be thinking, first you think come to prasadam hall, you look what is on offer to that prasadam. Isn't it? That's according to attachment, the vasana inside. Similarly, other things also. So, Krishna is saying here that he will not be disturbed by those things. Yovatishtandi Nengade. Yovatishtandi Nengade. That is what he is saying here. Udasinam Adasinam. Gunair Yona Vichanyate. Guna Vartanda Ittiva Yovatishtati Nengade. That Udasinatum. Many, as you see before also, Krishna has spoken there. That able to remain without attachment to anything. If such a state comes that he knows very well things are happening due to modes of nature, not me. I'm not a part of that. That kind of separation from Prakriti, basically, that's what it is, isn't it? So, Prakriti is doing its job, I'm not a part of that. Udasinavad yada udasino na kasya chet paksham bhajate tatha ayam gunadidatto upaya marge avasthitah asinah atmavid gunai ya sanyasi na vichalyate viveka darshana avasthatah. Udasinan means one who doesn't join any group. In any group. He is Udasinan. Because he is on a higher level. He doesn't join this side or that side. He keeps himself to himself. Similarly, one who is transcended the three modes of nature, who is like that, or who is moving in the path of spiritual life, Atmajnani, self-realization process, such a person also, due to his discrimination, he does not get moved by the three modes of nature. Three modes of nature. That means he has to be so sure in himself that the modes of nature is always working, whatever is happening in the vacant state, in the vacant state. Tad edad spudi karodi gunaha karyakarana vishayakara parinada anyonya asmin vartande idiya avatishtadi chando bhanga bhayad parasmai padaprayogaha ya anitishtadi idiva padhandara na ingade chaladi swarupa avastha eva bhavadi ityartha kimcha. Again, Krishna is making it a little bit more clearer. What he is saying is, that the body, the senses and sense objects, three things. The body, the senses and the sense objects. Now, the three modes of nature has changed itself into these three. You see, these three things is nothing but the three modes of nature in the form of body, in the form of senses, in the form of sense objects. All everything is three modes of nature. That's the important thing. They have come in these three forms, that's all. And then they are working together. These three. Body, senses and the sense objects. They come in these three different forms, the Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam. and then they work together. They may contact each other, and then they start mixing each other, and then they create results from that. Body is modes of nature, isn't it? We have a body based on tamogram, rajogram, sattogram accordingly in our body. And similarly, senses are also sattogram, rajogram, tamogram in them. Sense objects also sattogram, rajogram, tamogram in them. So, so one who knows this, he says, is a sthidapratyan, which Krishna spoke about. So, sthidapratyan and gunadhidan, there is no difference. This is another important thing. In the second chapter, when Krishna spoke about sthidapratyan, these are the same qualities given to him. But there Krishna called him as sthidapratyan. Here Krishna calls him as gunadhidan. But if you look at the qualities, they are one and the same. They are one and the same. So, so one who has realized himself, for him there is no modes of nature. If he has realized himself, what he is, then there is no modes of nature operating anymore. So that is the next verse. You can see that what is happening to him. Samadukha sukha swastam.
Samadukha sukha swastam.
Samaloshtashma kanchana.
Samaloshtashma kanchana.
Tulya priya priyo dhira.
Tulya priya priyo dhira.
Tulya nindalpa samstuti.
Tulya nindalpa samstuti.
Samadukha sukha swastam.
Samadukha sukha swastam.
Samaloshtashma kanchana.
Samaloshtashma kanchana.
Tulya priya priyo dhira.
Tulya priya priyo dhira.
Tulya nindalpa samstuti.
Tulya nindalpa samstuti.
Samam dukham sukham swastam. Samam loshtam ashma kanchana. Tulya priya apriyo dhira. Tulya nindalpa samstuti. You read this verse and he says it's the qualification of a gunadhidan. You read the verses in the 12th chapter about a devotee, exactly the same. So where is the difference between the gunadhidan and the devotee? No difference at all. So practically you can see that the qualifications of a person in spiritual life, whether he is a jnani, is a yogi, or a gunadhidan, or a devotee, doesn't matter. Ultimately, he has that spiritual qualities in him. And these are the spiritual qualities. You can see here that in sukha dukkham, sama dukkha sukha swastham. Sukham and dukkham is samam, is equal to happiness and distress. And he says, sama loshtashma kanchana. He sees the stone and the gold equal. Tulya priya priyo dhiraha. And he also sees there that when happiness comes or distress comes, he is equal. He is not disturbed. And he is courageous. And tulya ninda atma samstuti. Somebody glorifies him or somebody insults him, he takes it equal. So that samatto. Krishna calls it as samatto. Samattam yoga muchyade. That is a yoga state. That equality in all states equal. Never moved by, because these are all modes of nature, isn't it? Which one? Sukham, dukham is modes of nature. Gold and stone is modes of nature. Is it not? We give value to gold. We give the value to the stone also. It's us who has given that, but it's the modes of nature. In basically, if you analyze them, what is it? Gold also you can't eat, stone also you can't eat it. So they are both equal in one sense. Neither is of much importance. But gold we have given a very higher value, but stones, earth, in other words, hasn't given any value. But they are both modes of nature. Similarly, tulya priya apriyam. Priyam and apriyam is modes of nature. According to modes of nature, you will get affected by the tulya priya apriyam. Priyam apriyam. Tulya ninda alpa samstuti. Ninda and samstuti is also modes of nature. Somebody praises you, it's modes of nature. Somebody criticizes you or insults you, it's also modes of nature. So, in all these things, samam, equal. That is what Krishna is saying here. That tulya priya apriya priyancha apriyancha priya apriya tulya same yasya saha ayam tulya priya priyaha dhiraha dhiman ತುಲ್ಯ ನಿಂದ ಆತ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ತುತಿ ನಿಂದಾಚ ಆತ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ತುತಿ ಚ ನಿಂದಾತ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ತುತಿ ತುಲ್ಯೇ ನಿಂದಾತ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ತುತಿ ಎಸ್ತೆ ಯಥೇಹ ಸಹ ತುಲ್ಯ ನಿಂದಾತ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ತುತಿ ಕಿಂಚ. ಸೊ ಪ್ರಿಯಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಪ್ರಿಯಂ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮೂವ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮೂವ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಟ್ ಯು ನಥಿಂಗ್ ನೋ ಚೇಂಜಸ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್. Such a person is that Tulya Priya Priyam. Dhiman is Dhira. Dhira means good intelligence. Good intelligence. And Tulya Nindalpa Samstuti means if somebody glorifies him or somebody insults him, he is able to take it in the same way. He is able to take it in the same way. So that is what that means. So all these are external symptoms. Isn't it? They are all external symptoms. Because these are symptoms which you can notice outside. In other words, samadukha swastaha, happiness and distress equality. Swastada means he is swastaha. Swastha means he is situated in himself. Not in the mind. He is situated in the self. Situated in the self. Not in mind but in the self. So, because he is situated in the self, when the happiness or distress comes, where do they come? They come in the mind. They don't come in the self, isn't it? He is situated in the self. Happiness and distress comes in the mind. Therefore, he is equal. That's the reason why he is equal. If you are situated in the self, you will be equal to the happiness and distress that comes to the mind. Comes to the mind. Samaloshtashma kanchana. Krishna is saying there. That means whether it is gold or whether it is stone, earth, whatever it may be, he is samam, equal towards that. In other words, he is not giving importance to vyavahara. It is due to vyavahara pramukhyam, importance to vyavaharam. It is due to that you are considering gold as superior to the earth. Is it not? Due to vyavahara pramukhyam, importance in the vyavahara. In the spiritual world, there is no importance to gold or the stone. So, in vyavaharam, they will never be equal, gold and the stone. It will never be equal. So, this samabuddhi, equal vision, is only possible if you have paramartha pramukhyam. That means instead of vyavahara pramukhyam, if only the importance is given to paramarthika satyam, to the truth, absolute truth, only then it is, this samabuddhi will come. Samabuddhi, this equal vision will come only if its paramartha pramukhyam is there. Vyavahara, so long as you have vyavahara pramukhyam in us, so long as we have vyavahara pramukhyam in us, vyavahara pramukhyam means importance for vyavaharam. So long as it's there, this samabuddhi will never come. It is not possible. Do you understand? That as long as vyavahara pramukhyam, vyavaharam is important, importance is vyavaharam, samabuddhi is not possible, because in vyavaharam samabuddhi is not possible. Only in the paramarthiyam, paramartha pramukhyam, that means paramarthiyam, absolute level, this is possible. Samaloshtashma kanchana. There is a story about this. A king once gave one sannyasi. The sannyasi was a great mahatma, highly realized, and all the old people were saying. So, he gave this sannyasi two very expensive stones. Maradagam, what they call it, or some jewels like that. Gave it to him. And then the king told the sannyasi, "You should give me some spiritual instructions," he said. But while giving these stones, the king spoke about the value of the stones and its great qualities and glorified the stones a lot and gave it to the sannyasi like that. So, and they were both sitting on a riverbank, both the king and this sannyasi at that time. So, at that time he asked, king asked this question, "I got all this wealth, but my mind is not peaceful. He said, can you instruct me on that, what I should do? He said, Dasanjit Mahalpa asked the king, why does the mind become disturbed? Why does the mind become disturbed? Because something has got inside from outside and disturbed the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And disturbed the mind. And when it comes and into the mind and disturbs that, then the mind starts movement. Movement starts in the mind, anger or some frustration or distress or whatever form it is. And when that disturbance happens in the mind, then shanti goes from the mind, isn't it? So, and saying like that, what he did was, he out of the two stones he gave to him, he took one and threw it into the river, long far away, into the river. And then he said to the king, look at the place where the stone has fallen. He says to the king, and a lot of ripples have happened there, isn't it? Immediately when the stone falls, there comes out ripples from there. So, and that ripples, it is like that, he said, when the object sense, when the sense object comes inside to the mind, it creates ripples inside the mind. And then the mind movement starts in the mind. Immediately the king says to that sannyasi, what have you done? I've given you such an expensive thing and you have just thrown it there like that. So I didn't notice where you have dropped it, thrown it. Otherwise I could have sent somebody and tried to find out where it has fallen. I was looking at you, he said. The king is saying to this sannyasi, and tell me where you have thrown it away. And then I can send my soldiers to go and look for it. If you can just tell me where it has fallen, he said. And when he said like that, the sannyasi threw the second one also into the river. And then he told you that's where it is, he said. Where it has fallen, there it is, he said. It has gone and fallen. So when it is not vyavahara pramukhyam, is not there. For sannyasi it is vyavaharam, isn't it? There is no vyavahara pramukhyam for him. So when it is not there, it is of no use to sannyasi these stones. What is he going to do with it? What will sannyasi do with the stone? Nowadays, I don't know. But in them days, sannyasis need more expensive stones, I think. But in them days, that is sannyasi's proper, pranyasi is supposed to keep that distance from these things. So this is quite common, that many great souls, they do not want to deal with these things. It is causing so much of a problem for them. People will look at it and then you are inviting trouble in many ways. Will come and steal things from you. And then you will see sannyasis has lost so much money. Somebody has stolen their money. First instance, why accumulated all this first? That doesn't go through. Anyway, so that is how it is. Sannyasam is like that. That he doesn't have anything to do with. He is not giving importance to vyavaharam. He gives importance to paramarthiyam. Paramarthiyam pramukhyam, when you give it to them, for him samabuddhi is possible. But if you give vyavahara pramukhyam, this king will never be able to do it because he is giving vyavahara pramukhyam. Vyavaharam he is giving important. He wants to keep the value of these jewels, these expensive jewels, and he wants recognition of that, and he wants samabuddhi. That is not possible. That is the important thing. That is not possible. So, so often this happens in ashramam also. Sometimes people bring all sorts of things and give it to the Mahatma. Some Mahatma says, no, I don't want any of these things. But if they bring food, they will take it. Because food you can eat or you can give it to others to eat. But if you get these wealthier things, then it is only you're inviting more trouble with that. So once it so happened, to one Mahatma, somebody asked this question. He said to them, he said to this Mahatma, that when people bring food, you are accepting that. But when they bring gold or jewelry or expensive things or cash, you don't even want to know anything about it. So why is it like that? So the Mahatma said, I can't eat the gold, can I? He said, that was his answer. Because as far as he is concerned, eating is a necessity in life. And if food comes, I will accept it. But gold is not a necessity in life, isn't it? Because if you are giving importance to gold, it means you are higher pramukhyam. It's not paramartha pramukhyam. So that was his point. He said, because it is food, I eat it. and I also give it to others who are here. It's some use. But all the cash, what will I do with the banknotes, he said. I can't eat them. That was so. So therefore, those who want to take it, let them take it, he said. You can't have that. But food is of some use to us. So, therefore, there is no problem. So only that importance in Vyavaharam, that is the Yoga Avastha. Importance to Vyavaharam, to what it deserves, nothing more than that. Otherwise, we will get trapped in Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam will take control of everything. Your spiritual life also will be controlled by Vyavaharam. That's what happens now. Your spiritual life is controlled by Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam controls the spiritual life. Instead of spiritual life controlling the Vyavaharam, it goes the opposite way. So, you have to give the importance for Vyavaharam what it deserves. That much money, what you require for that, you can keep that. But, and whatever remaining money, what is useful for Vyavaharam, you can use that. And that is why the law is structured in that way. Only that the rule is such that money, what is, can be utilized in Vyavaharam for that purpose alone should be kept. Other things has to be utilized for paramarthiyam. Otherwise that Vyavaharam will become problem. Just like you can see, suppose the government decides tomorrow that they decided to write off all the banknotes. Sometimes it happened in the world war, isn't it? That the currency notes lost its value. And sometimes in a country, when there is a lot of black money builds up, there's so much black money, and that black money means that you have got a lot of cash which is unaccounted. And government finds it very difficult to get it out. So the worst situation comes, what the government will decide is, they will make the whole currency invalid. Then what can you do? The whole currency is gone. What can you use that money or paper for? You can use it for toilet paper, that's all the currency notes, that's all you can do with it. Isn't it? What will you do with it? So if a crisis comes like that, that's the last resort. Government has to do it, if they have to do it. If the black money builds up in a state in that way, if a financial situation goes like that, isn't it? So similarly, if anything, any rule or law happens like that due to war or due to government decisions, anything happens like that, all you have to do is you have to throw away the whole cash. Thus that can happen. So so it has got only Vyavahara Pradhanyam. That means importance as well as Vyavaharam is concerned. The certain things in this world. And similarly, that you will give only value to that extent for that. You cannot give paramarthiyam, pradhanyam, pradhanyam. So, samaloshtashma kanchana. Samaloshtashma kanchana, Krishna is saying there. That for the sake of vyavaharam, he will eat food. For the sake of living, you are allowed to live in this world. You are allowed to eat food in this world. More than that, no other emotions from vyavaharam. Because otherwise it will create ragadvesham and no attachment, anything to that. That is samabuddhi. That is what Krishna calls it as samabuddhi. Samabuddhi means that should not create ragadvesham inside. Krishna is not against vyavaharam. What Krishna is saying is, the samabuddhi will not be possible if vyavaharam goes to such level and create ragadvesham inside. You can see that all the time happening, isn't it? You come to spiritual life and you increase your vyavaharam and then creates ragadvesham from that, and then you find it difficult to come out of it. Permanent problem then. Once for all, then the very purpose for which you have come to spiritual life is defeated. You have come to spiritual life to come out of this ragadvesham, not to create ragadvesham. But what is happening? We come to spiritual life and then we increase our vyavaharam. In the process of increasing the vyavaharam, more ragadvesham has come. And then go to the court fight the case in the court. Spiritual people are fighting case in the court. Why? Because we have created agadvesham. So where will samatvam comes then? What Krishna is saying there is that vyaharam is not the problem. The problem with vyaharam is, if it is creating ragadvesham, you should withdraw from that. That is the principle. That is the principle. If it is creating ragadvesham, pull out. Because for you to protect a higher thing, you have to sacrifice your lower things. Vyaharam is a lower thing. Protecting, you have to protect your higher principle. Higher, that means in order to not to lose that samatvam inside, equality inside, samam, loshtashma, kanjana, Krishna is saying, to keep that samatvam, if vyaharam is creating ragadvesham, even vyaharam you have to give up at that point. That is the point Krishna has made here. So, it is 4:45. We'll have a short kirtan and then we'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Shri Krishna. Jai Krishna Prabhu ki. Jai. Jai. Jai.